So when I was reading the piece, the focus for today, it talked about taking action. And it talks specifically about how when we take action that is divinely guided, we move intelligently in the world. And to me, that really speaks of having a vision for what you want. Because as we, one of the times I was here, I talked about the visioning process, and I know that you all do that as a group, that you're opening to divine guidance about an area of your life, or every area of your life. And then from that guidance comes clarity and images and feelings and that whole package about what you want becomes a very tangible focus. And, and that's why we create vision boards and affirmations. It's all about building energy. It's action, taking action in the world, telling the universe, I'm serious. I have this vision and I am serious about creating it. And so I'm going to take time to create vision boards and write affirmations and whatever else it takes. And that's very good, and I would encourage you all to continue to do that. You can sense there's a however coming. Recently, I've been reading Bruce Lipton, and you probably remember The Biology of Beliefs, his powerful book from a number of years ago. And his latest book is called The Honeymoon Effect, which, if we shift from the reading for today, where Ernest Holmes is talking about a storefront or a retail store, taking action in the store and to be conscious about what's on the shelves, that customers come in and they want to see something different. They don't want it to be the same all the time, and how that, that's taking action to build and support a result. If we shift, so that can be kind of a metaphor for life, being aware of what are we putting on our conscious shelf? What is the conscious mind focusing on? And then if we shift that to the focus of Bruce Lipton's latest book, The Honeymoon Effect, it's about relationships. And what he has found in a lot of research is that the conscious mind is capable of staying in the present for certain things that really excite us. Now, a vision is one of the things that can be very exciting and can keep you focused. And that is why people that are very focused and have a vision, it manifests, because the conscious mind is very clear and stays focused. But he also has found that the conscious mind is only 5% of what we express from. Well, that was kind of a staggering figure to me. What? So what's the other 95%? Subconscious mind. And so the subconscious mind, well, let me talk a little bit more about the conscious mind. So the conscious mind is where we are right now. You're focused, you're conscious, you can respond creatively, you can be spontaneous. You can change your behavior as it's happening. You're aware. So that's a lot about the conscious mind. It's actually, he calls it, we're on manual when we're in conscious mind, as opposed to autopilot, okay? So, and conscious mind, now this is pretty impressive. Conscious mind can respond to 40 nerve impulses a second. So that's stimulus in your environment, that's things going on in your body, that's 40 per second. That's pretty good, right? Doesn't that sound pretty impressive? Subconscious mind can respond to 40 million per second. Yeah. So there's a whole lot going on beneath the surface that we are not aware of. And And all of the subconscious programming begins really in the womb. They say that the baby is aware, not only aware of sounds outside and, you know, nutritional stimulus, but what's going on with the mother. And what's going on with the mother also includes what's going on with the father and their relationship and what's going on in life. And if the mother is in this wonderful, in love with baby, in love with father, you know, that's fabulous chemistry for this baby to be, you know, bathed in. But that's not always the case. And so, you know, that's something that would be good for parents to be aware of, if the mother's under a lot of stress. A lot of cortisol in the bloodstream, the baby's also responding to that and is being prepared to come into a stressful environment. And so the reason that humans and actually chimps as well have this way of learning, this downloading, is because we don't have a lot of instinctual built-in ways of protecting ourselves and surviving in the world. And so the universe has set up this amazing system that where we can download so much information. And from in the womb till about 2 years old, we function at the delta level, which is where we are when we sleep. And so that makes sense because kids sleep a lot. Then from like 2 to 6 or 7, it shifts to the theta stage. And that's why, you know, kids are so creative and they have this amazing imagination, because theta is that imaginative state, but it's also the hypnotic state. And so they're basically under a state of hypnosis, able to download everything that they see and hear, because they need all that information to enculturate themselves into their world. So that, again, that can be a really good system if they're in an environment with a lot of positive, supportive affirmations, you know, loving, nurturing environment. That, you know, then that's great, because then they're getting programmed for to be all they can be. And most of us didn't have that. So we, you know, we took on some programs. You know, some of the parenting skills of my parents were to, you know, to be critical in order to modify behavior. I mean, that was a tool that parents used, be critical so that the child will change the behavior. But after the age of 6 or 7, children can't process a criticism as what it is. They process it, they download it as truth. They don't have the discrimination skills. And so those are the things that end up coming up later that don't serve us. But we are not doomed, because the subconscious mind can be reprogrammed. And Bruce Lipton talks about, you know, ways to do that with subliminal tapes and hypnosis and energy medicine. He talked about Psych-K, which I think somebody, didn't you have a guest speaker talk about Psych-K once here? No. Okay. That's an energy medicine modality that works with affirmations and brain gym, so that you're coming from a whole brain approach and changing your subconscious beliefs. But I think, you know, it's wide open, and I think there's so much now moving towards that. I mean, people are aware that in order to make fast change, it's the subconscious that really we need to be working on. And affirmations are certainly a way, but it takes a lot of repetition. But getting back to the honeymoon effect. So remember when you're in a new relationship and how wonderful it is, and how, you know, you just can't stop thinking about this person, and you're thinking about what you did yesterday, and you're thinking about what you're going to do today, and you're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, and the conscious mind is very engaged, and it's very wonderful. And it's heaven on earth. And so we know that the conscious mind is capable of creating heaven on earth. So that's awesome. So you're going along in this new relationship, and you're experiencing heaven on earth, the two of you. And then one day, you know, some of the aspects of life creep in that maybe are stressful. Maybe you're trying to balance your checkbook, or you find out you don't have enough money to pay your bills, or you need a car repair, or there's stress at work. And so the conscious mind is over here focusing on resolving the problem or dealing with what needs to be done. When the conscious mind is occupied over here and something else comes up, guess who pops in? The subconscious mind, the programmed responses. And so if you're focused over here dealing with whatever may be stressful, and this new partner comes into the room and asks a simple question, your subconscious may kick out a response that isn't what you would like to be, isn't the way you would like to be responding, isn't that highest self, which you've been, you know, you've been in that conscious state on your best behavior, so to speak, you know, expressing from who you really want to be in this relationship. But it's hard to maintain that when this other stuff is a distraction. And so you respond with something that might be interpreted as, I'm too busy for you right now, or leave me alone, or, you know, however it might be interpreted. And so then this partner looks at you and says, who are you? Where's the person I fell in love with? And Bruce Lipton feels like over time, you know, and we can't really help it. And so over time, it kind of degrades our expectations. I mean, yes, we may still love this person, but we realize there'll be times when we're not at our best. But it can be, you know, but it can be hurtful. And so over time, these small hurts kind of lower our expectations, and we lose that honeymoon effect. We're losing that wonderful feeling space that we had in the beginning. So he recommends that, you know, if you're aware of this, it's a lot easier to keep a conversation going. And so what's really interesting is, so when you have two people come into relationship, there's four minds involved. You have your two conscious minds, and then you have your two subconscious minds. And so as long as you're aware of that and you can keep the conversation going, and so when something comes up, instead of arguing about it or getting defensive, because when this person first heard this unloving, what was interpreted as an unloving response and said, who are you? The one who said it, who was unaware probably, because a lot of these subconscious responses, we're not even aware of how they sound or what we've even said, will get defensive. What do you mean, who am I? I'm the same person I've always been, you know, and so then it can really digress. So if you're aware of what's going on, if you can keep a conversation going rather than, you know, arguing or becoming defensive, then you can ask the person, that response you just made doesn't sound like you. Is that something your father would have said? You know, or, you know, I mean, because that's where we get a lot of the messages from parents, community, culture. And so if you're not sure of what your subconscious programming is, Bruce Lipton suggests that you look at your life and the areas of your life that are easy and in the flow. Those are the areas where you have positive subconscious programming that support your desires. So the programming is already there to support what you want, and that's why it's easy. The areas where we struggle, that's where the programming is in conflict with what you want. And so those are the beliefs that need to change. And that's where we need to take action to help, you know, help to change those beliefs. So, as I said, there's a number of ways that you can reprogram the subconscious. And but what I came across just in the last couple days was a book. I got into energy medicine called Quantum Touch, which, and, you know, to me, a lot of the energy medicine, Reiki, Quantum Touch, Healing Touch, you know, they're all very, to me, they're all really the same. It's a technique that may be different, but it's all coming from the one source of energy. And in the beginning, quantum touch was modeled after quantum physics, which I don't understand completely, but it's the idea that all matter is vibrating energy. And so this table is vibrating slower than water, because water is very fluid, table is hard, solid. So everything is vibrating energy, it's just vibrating at different frequencies to create different forms. And that's my understanding in a nutshell. And so with quantum touch, we would, through breath work, we would lift the vibration of our bodies. That's what we did as practitioners. And then we would place our hands on a person's body somewhere, wherever it needed to be healed. And we were not doing the healing. We were allowing their body to entrain with the high vibration of our body, of my body. And through that entrainment and bringing their body up to a higher frequency, the body could heal itself. And so the healer is the person with the issue that is healing themselves, that is allowing the body to heal itself. So that was the premise of the first quantum touch approach. And there were variations to that, but that's the basics of it. Now they've come up with a second model, which I think is so interesting because it's a lot like heart math. Are some of you aware of heart math? Okay, so that's using the energy of the heart to do healing, to influence outcomes, and knowing about the heart chakra as an energy center. You know, that's where we process feelings. To me, that's where love resides. It's a center point between the lower energy centers below the heart and the spiritual ones above the heart. It's that meeting point that helps to balance us in the world, I think. And so this Quantum Touch 2 book is called The New Human. And some of the speculation about what's possible through the energy of the heart is really amazing. But what really caught my interest and what I want to talk about today, because there's a lot of different ways to use this, was in healing the past. And if we think about things that need to be healed, and that would include beliefs that don't serve our desires, you know, in the subconscious, that all happened a long time ago when we were children. But it could be as recent as an injury that happened last week. But anything that we're working on to change is really something from the past. And it's interesting because we talk about, you know, the present is all we have. This present moment is all we have. And yet, in this present moment, we're healing the past. I just think that's interesting. And so I want to read you a quote from that book about the time-space. It's in here somewhere. Okay, I'm getting closer. Okay, here it is. And so this will hopefully help appeal a little bit to your left brain, the logical part of you. So this is coming from the Quantum Touch to the New Human in regards to this issue of time and space. In astronomy, time and space blends together. The further we look into space with our eyes or with a telescope, the further back into time we can see. We see the sun as it was 8.5 minutes ago, and the center of the Milky Way as it was 27,000 years ago. The Hubble telescope sees objects as they were billions of years ago. In the physics of Einstein, time is relative, changing with speed and perspective, and can be treated like a fourth dimension in space-time. In string theory, time is just one of many dimensions. Physicists are divided on the subject of what time is, on whether time always moves forward, or even if time travel is theoretically possible. Some argue that time is just a persuasive illusion and that it does not really exist, but this is a minority view. Although time travel is usually left to science fiction, what if we could heal across time? Is the past fixed, determined, or is it fluid and negotiable? And so that's what I would like us to consider today. And we will be doing some work a little after the break. We'll come back and do some experiential activity with that. So I think rather than getting into that, I can say briefly, we'll be looking at creating a timeline of our lives and picking just a few points. We're going to keep it simple so that we can focus on just maybe two or three things. And this can be, you know, all the way back to childhood kind of in issues, traumas, or it can be, you know, something that happened yesterday. So that, I'll leave that up to you. And then we'll be looking forward on our timeline. And that's where we're going to pick a few points that relate possibly to your life vision, where you want to be, the experiences you want to have. And so we'll be working with moving some energy to the past and to the future.
So. Sounds good.
All right. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you, Jen.